I mean, if you like to sit here, but I'm just saying we put it back. Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now we've established that the Shanta Ras, then they're basically dealing with the Brahman and the Paramatma as the Vishai. Then the Dasya, then as Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha is the Vishai. Then, and Krishna is the Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So Krishna is saying, you know, that these aspects then make a difference to him, right? These higher three rasas, they catch his attention. They mean something to him. The others, they don't control him, right? It means he reciprocates with them, and so the devotee is very satisfied, but they don't in any way control him like that. He is not subservient to that love. He is not controlled by it. Therefore, there's master and servant, or the great, you know, that appreciation. But in these other three, then he actually becomes subservient to these devotees and controlled by their love. Right. So now Bhakti, and so Lord Chaitanya is saying he's going to come, or Krishna is saying he's going to come and perform his pastimes with these devotees. Right. So that's what's going to be happening. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues, having, you know, made this statement then on what is happening here. If Krishna had not appeared in his original form, the jiva would not have access to the higher rasas, namely Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Bhava, emotion, is actually the primary pursuit in the world. Right? The jiva's knowledge of the Supreme is limited. It's another Supreme. By pursuing the path of knowledge, the jiva does not receive any trace of love of God. By pursuing that path, the person does not realize the form of God, and instead concludes that God is formless and without qualities. The path of knowledge does not lead to realization of God's form. There is no process to realize the Lord except by the path of devotion, bhava. No bhava. As a jiva advances, proportionally his attraction, bhava, to the Lord increases and gives satisfaction. And so here we're seeing is that if Krishna himself didn't come and perform his pastimes, then the jiva wouldn't have no idea, or the access to these higher three rasas would not be available. Jiva can appreciate God's big on small, so on reverence is there, or appreciation in shanta. But these other three, unless it's experienced, it will not be known of its existence. It will not create the interest or the desire, the attraction. So it's very important, therefore, that Krishna comes, because here we're dealing with bhava as the actual thing people are looking for. Much of the time is looking that they want something material in the way of form or stuff like that. That's not actually the point. The point is they're looking for bhava, because that stuff will get them. Now, they may be big materialists, they just want money, 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 but there's a mood that goes with having that money. There's something they're getting from it. It's not the money itself. It's the mood, the bhav, that they get from having that. Whether it gives control, whether it opens the door to relationships, whether it creates some sense of security, whatever it may be, it's the bhava that is important. Actually, that's what it comes down to. This is the major mistake that the jiva makes in dealing in relationships, right? is that it's something other than bhava. Right? So if he understands as bhava, then one, it makes it more clear how to deal with God. Because it's the mood, it's the relationship between the living entity and God. And with other living entities, then it's the bhav. It's not what you can get done. It's the mood, it's what you get from doing that activity. Therefore, you can get the moods that you are looking for through activities that are cultured, that are civilized, that are progressive. Right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Otherwise, then one may have some strange idea how to get that. Right? But that's not necessarily the fact. Right? The man, the poor man, you know, he has that control over his family. He has nice interaction if he knows how to deal with his family members. Right? The rich man may also have that. You know, because he has a... But the point is it's individual, if they understand relationships or not. Right? The poor man, he has nothing, so he tends to look more for the personal interaction. But the rich man thinks it's the facility is going to create that interaction, but it doesn't. You know, many of those with lots of facility are the most alone, because they don't know how to use it. Right? So the most important is not whether one has great facility or not, but whether one knows how to actually interact with others. Right? Does that make sense? So this bhava is the main thing. So now the jiva's knowledge is limited. Through knowledge, you cannot know the Supreme Lord. You can know his form. You can just understand some elements about him, his greatness, like that. So some shanta ras can be developed. Maybe something more than that. But the element is that otherwise you don't know his form. You'll think, like the jnanis, that he's impersonal. Right? Because if you talk to anyone in the world religions today, then basically you see is what they say is, yes, you know, they'll talk about God as a person and his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love, but then you say, what does he look like? He has no form. So how does he deliver that grace and that love? How does he interact? Right? It's a problem. So because of their limited knowledge, then they come up with these ideas that will be along the line of the jnanis. Right? They're generally situated in the position of the karmi in that they're performing fruitive work. We always have to remember, we call it fruitive work. Others will call it religious. Right? It's the same thing. Because fruitive means you have the fruitive worker who can be pious following the Vedic directions. So that's dharmic. You can have the fruitive worker who's not. That's irreligious. So everyone will agree that activity regulated by religion is good. Activity not regulated by religion is not necessarily ideal. Right? So that which is regulated by religion, then people call religious. In the Vedic culture also, it's religious. But the point is religious is not enough. Right? Because the real religion, the Sanatana Dharma, is devotion to the Supreme. So if that religion is not having Krishna as the center, it's pious, it's nice, but it doesn't quite make it. Therefore, we will leave it aside. That doesn't mean that the religious activities are left aside. It's religious activities without Krishna as the center is left aside. Right? Just as wealth without Krishna as the center, or sense gratification without Krishna as the center. Right? Or, in this case, knowledge without Krishna as the center. So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, Krishna has to be the center. Then it becomes worthwhile. Does that make sense? Okay. So there's no way to realize God except through the path of devotion, to bhava. So this means then that bhava then has to be in connection with him. So here bhava, when we say bhava, we mean in relationship to the Lord, but technically bhava just means emotion. Right? The real emotion is in connection with Krishna. But in any case, people are looking for that emotional content. That then they feel it has some meaning, something is there. Okay. As a jiva advances, proportionally his attraction, bhava, to the Lord increases and gives satisfaction. Advancement due to education or intelligence is not spiritual advancement. One can gain spiritual advancement only by increasing development of pure bhava. Thus, an illiterate fool can attain a high degree of the Lord's mercy, an alerted scholar being atheistic on the level of an animal, and be completely devoid of the Lord's mercy. Preeti left again. That "and" needs to be put in there. On the level of an animal, can be completely devoid of the Lord's mercy. Right. Right. So this should not be confused with, means here is that the scholar means he has this, what is knowledge, which would be called the aparavidya or avidya, whichever it applies. Paravidya means transcendental knowledge. Aparavidya means knowledge, Vedic knowledge that's supportive of the transcendental knowledge. Avidya means the same knowledge that's not connected to Krishna. It's not connected to the paravidya. So aparavidya means it's connected to para. Avidya means it's not connected to para. So it can be the same body of knowledge. Right? That's the problem in the modern academy is lack of connection. Right? If it's connected, then one, so many false theories and notions get left aside. And then whatever skills and knowledge is left, then it could be useful in utilizing in human life. But because it's not connected to Krishna, it becomes avidya, and therefore the skills and knowledge that it gives then take one away from the Lord instead of towards the Lord. Right? Aparavidya takes you towards the Lord. Avidya takes you away. Does that make sense? Even though it's the same knowledge. Right? It's the same knife in the hand of a criminal or a skilled doctor. One saves lives, one takes lives. Right? Same knife, yes.
Maharaj, can avidya be correct?
Can avidya be correct? How do you define correct?
That it's explaining things as they are.
What is as it is? Be very careful now. Bhagavad Gita, as it is?
That it's giving a factual understanding of the world.
What is fact? So you're taking so many things for granted, but what is a fact? There's a pillar here, right? What is it made out of?
Bricks.
Bricks and cement. So that would be a fact, okay? How is it that this bricks and cement actually can do this job of holding up a building?
They have to be connected somehow.
That's there, but how is it that that potency is there in a brick and not in something else? Let's say, you know what I'm saying? Let's say, you know, cauliflowers. Right? Those who are atheistic take it that it's inherent in the brick. But no, the brick is the medium in which the Lord's potency to be able to hold something up is established. Haribol, sir? Does that make sense? So, therefore, what actually is going on here? Is holding it up. It's not the bricks. The bricks are empowered with that potency. Does that make sense? Just like you have, let us say you have a copper wire, right? You can run electricity through that. Let's say I have a piece of wood. I cannot run electricity through it. So it's because it's the Lord's arrangement, therefore the potency can move through it. That's why certain things you can use to build a building out of, certain things you don't. Certain things you can eat, certain things you don't. It's the same potency in that brick. you know, as in a potato. But you can eat the potato and get energy from it. You can't eat the brick. And the potato, it's both made out of the same earth. Same minerals, same everything. You know what I'm saying? But you can't eat the brick, nor can you build a house out of the potato. Because they have certain potencies in it. So now, again, we revisit your question, what is fact? Does that make sense? What is as it is? Now, how we explain the column and how you explain the column, which of those is as it is?
Your explanation is it gives the right understanding.
Yes, so its completeness is greater. So now, what people may be teaching, that is avidya, may have some facts in it, but because they're not connected to Krishna, it will not give a complete understanding. So the use of those facts will never give satisfaction. You can use them, but it won't give satisfaction. You know, it's like the copper wire with no electricity. You're not really going to get much from it. Right? So because of that, therefore, then they have to add on to it something to make it look like it has some value. So they have their philosophy, their this, or that. You know, they add their atheistic twist to it to try to make you inspired. You know, if I give you a blender that doesn't work because it doesn't plug in, then I have to really give some nice, completely different philosophy about its importance. You know what I'm saying? That you'll be inspired to work with it. Right? You know, use it as a paperweight, you know, like that. Maybe use it as a vase, you know, stick water in it, stick some flowers in it, like that. You know what I'm saying? It changes only because it can't do what it's actually supposed to, because its understanding and connection with the Lord is not seen. Does that make sense? That's one aspect. Therefore, when you study the knowledge in the this non-Vedic knowledge, then the difficulty comes is it's not properly connected to Krishna, and so therefore it doesn't give you Krishna, right? And it doesn't even give you the process by which one could come in contact with those necessarily who know about him. You know, you're not, in other words, you're not even in the environment that Krishna could very easily be found in. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's why the aparavidya is more useful, because it has its connection, you know, through the scriptures back to the Lord. Therefore, even you're in a mundane environment, it is connected to the Lord. So you may forget about it, you may not be so aware of it, but it is, so it works that way. The more you're aware of it, the better results you get. The less you're aware of it, the less results you get. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very important then to understand the difference here. So if anything is working in the avidya, right, that is only because those aspects that work are the parts that are actually connected to the Lord. Though no one knows it, so you don't get the benefit for it. Does that make sense? Right? You get a gift. You don't know who it's from. You know, you may be happy having the gift. Right? But if you know who it's from and that person has affection, you have affection for them, how much more you get out of that gift? Right? So that's the whole point. So because of this ignorance, it's working. But because of its lack of connection to the Lord, the results you get are very temporary. Right? And not very satisfying. But it's better than nothing, because bhava is the important element. The living entity is functioning simply for the experience of bhava. So something is there. But it may be, oh, it's a nice thing, rather than this is, a sign of affection. You know what I'm saying? So it's working. It works on the same principle. But at the same time, as the results are different. Right? So therefore, what's connected to Krishna takes you back to Krishna. What's not connected takes you away. By the same method. Right? A car can take you in any direction. Right? Whether it's going north or south, it functions in the same way. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So we have to be very careful. But fact, but what? Why do we call something a fact? Who cares? It's something chosen. There's unlimited aspects of any element or any entity in the material manifestation. Why that one is chosen? You know what I'm saying? Like you have a pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying? The nutritive value for the plants in your garden are also facts about your shoes. But is that something that they advertise the shoes with? These shoes are very good, you know, if composted, you know, properly, then give great, as a fertilizer for petunias. You know, while these shoes, then they're better for roses. But it's a fact. You know what I'm saying? So, when we say fact, which facts are we taking? What facts are there? Facts: birth, death, old age, and disease. These are facts. You know, you're born alone, you're going to die alone. You're born with nothing, you're going to die with nothing. These are facts. So, but those who say facts and what's observable is important, avoid these facts that are observable. Right? They avoid the fact that if everything's by chance, why is it for the next, 10,000 years, I can write an ephemeris to say exactly what time the sun will come up and go down? If everything's chance. Right? Does that make sense? So, these are facts, but these are facts that they don't take into consideration. So therefore, their facts are based on their need or their bhava to find sense enjoyment in an atheistic way, disconnected from the Lord. Or, if it's not atheistic, it may be theistic, but it's limited in knowledge, so therefore they have no actual concept of the Lord's form. You know, they know a couple of qualities, but they don't know beyond. They know some of them. You know, it means the Lord's position in majesty, that they basically have more of an understanding. Does that make sense? You had something?
Mosquito on my
ear. Oh, okay. Just to make sure. To attain the Lord. Oh, here we're saying is that, so what Prabhupada was talking about this morning then is that this perfect knowledge is the basis of devotional service, because that perfect knowledge, that is transcendental knowledge. That's paravidya. Right? And aparavid, so that's perfect knowledge. With that, devotion is based on that. Now, the aparavidya can be utilized in one's devotional service that is based on paravidya. Right? So we have to be able to distinguish here what knowledge means. Right? So here when we say about that with in knowledge and intelligence, right, development, scholarship and all that, that means it's just the knowledge itself. We're not talking about the paravidya. Even if it's paravidya, if it's not done in a mood of devotion, as mentioned in the very beginning, still you won't understand it. Because people, there are scholars who even study the Vedic literatures, but still they can't see the Lord because of that lack of not getting it in parampara from the bona fide spiritual master. Right? So we're very specific when we say knowledge, what we mean. You know, in other words, that knowledge handed down in the parampara, you know, that's received in the proper way. like that. That knowledge then is useful in devotional service. All other kinds of knowledge, if connected to that, can be useful. But if it's not connected to that, it's not useful at all. It doesn't matter who says it is. It just is not. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, I, you know, do my job, I get money, so I can take care of my family. Okay, great. Why would you take care of your family? You know what I'm saying? For what purpose? So if it's just attachment, then it's only for yourself. You are attached to them, therefore you keep them around. You're not attached to them, you don't keep them around. That's pretty mercenary, if we want to talk about facts. Right? So therefore, then what is it? There's a higher principles of, you know, working for the others. But who's giving that? Where'd that come from? Working for the benefit of the others. How is that a fact? Be kind, be nice. How is that a fact? You know what I'm saying? So human life is not based on facts. Human life is based on proper bhava, which is based on proper understanding. Right? And that proper understanding means that proper knowledge coming down in parampara about the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yes, no? Yeah. To attain the Lord's mercy, birth, education, wealth, strength, beauty, or skills are ineffective. Absolutely a non-politically correct statement. Right? The great scholar and warrior, full of pride, gradually proceed to hell, while the fool and weakling worship the Lord in devotion and attains supreme peace. Fool and weakling doesn't have a degree, therefore doesn't have a high-powered job, therefore, you know, can't be very successful in the world, but somehow or another can go back to Godhead. While the fool and weakling worship the Lord in devotion and attain supreme peace. Thus the root of all spiritual attainment is bhava, emotion or ecstasy. This bhava takes the form of shanta or dasya in many cases, suitable to the qualification of the person. In rare cases, the devotee achieves the highest goal of shakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. The pure devotee who attains madhurya bhava is the chief of all the devotees tasting rasa. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the qualities of shanta ras and the service of dasya ras are both present on the platform of shakya ras. On the platform of fraternity, the qualities of dasya ras are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. In other words, service is being done. Means your shakya rasa includes what's lower than that. So it includes service, but it's not in awe and reverence. It's in confidence. Right? You're confident in the relationship in there, so therefore in that you render service. Right? So it's already included, yes. Fraternity, friendship. Same as shakya. Friendship and fraternity are the same. On the platform of paternal love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance, like a son. And therefore his mellow is full of the four qualities of shanta, dasya, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. Right? We see is that each one is containing the last one. Right? Because there is that, we remember is shanta means that you appreciate the person. So to be his friend, you have to appreciate him. Right? To be his servant, you have to appreciate. So you already appreciate. So if you appreciate, then when that becomes deeper, then that becomes mixed, then the mood of service comes up, but it's mixed with awe and reverence. When that deepens, then that intimacy, that confidence that comes from intimacy is there. So service is there, and you appreciate the qualities. Right? Well, then in Vatsalya, then there's that parental mood where you're maintaining the Lord, but you're still also, you know, that friendship, but it'll be your senior friend, of course. And the service is there, right? That confidence is there, and the appreciation of the qualities. Does that make sense? On the platform of conjugal love, the devotee offers his body in the service of the Lord. Thus, on this platform, all five transcendental qualities are present. All the material qualities evolve one after another in the material elements. Beginning from ether, by gradual evolution, first one quality develops, then two qualities develop, then three and four, until all five qualities are in earth. Right? In other words, you have space in ether. Right? Then you add ego to that, the false ego, then it transforms into air, which then has touch. Right? Means the other, you have ether, you have sound, now you have touch. Right? Then from when that, you add false ego again, then you get fire, which then has form. Right? It also has touch, and it has sound. Right? Then you add ego again, then it develops into water. So water then has form, has taste. It also has form, it has sound, and it has touch. Right? Then earth, this is the last transformation, you add false ego again, then it turns into earth. Right? So having become earth, now it has all those qualities plus smell. So in the same way as all the rasas, as you add again that intensity of devotion, right? As, you know, in other words, it's real ego and intensified, then it becomes deeper and deeper. Right? Here it's a reflection, so it goes down. You become more entrenched in the material energy. Right? The spiritual world is going up, so then it goes that direction. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, when you deepen your identity in the material energy, then it goes farther in. When you deepen your identity as Krishna's servant, so when that intensifies, then it goes the other way. Does that make sense? Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19, 222, 228, 232, and 233. When devotees with meager rasa hear about Madhurya rasa, they cannot believe it, and moreover, they fear that it is offensive. The common spiritual practices take shelter of Dasya rasa. Persons of this mentality, when they hear about worshipping the Lord in Madhurya rasa, reject it because of dread of fear or fall down. Some even think that this rasa is a perverse concoction. Those of lower qualification mistake the actions of those superior qualification. Only when they attain that higher qualification by good fortune, they will realize, oh, I was such a fool. I have criticized elevated souls. Therefore, we humbly request those following other paths to understand that this topic is very deep. Without special deliberation on this topic, one should not come to some erroneous conclusion. Right, so basically your general spiritual practices are based on this platform of awe and reverence. That's why then you'll see is the basic practices are the same in all the sampradayas, no matter what platform they're trying to attain to, right? Because those are common. So they work for Vaikuntha, they also will work in Goloka. But as it develops, then there are other elements that are there that are not in the general. So one should therefore not be afraid of those. Right? That doesn't mean that one overbalances these things and gets, you know, involved in things that one is not suited for. But it does mean that these topics are all, you know, part of the system. A person should give a seat to the Lord of the heart within the core of his heart and try worshiping him in the Madhurya mood. If he appreciates it, then he should take shelter of a guru competent in rasa and attempt to taste this rasa. If he does not appreciate it, then he may reject it as contrary to his nature, but in any case, he should not denounce it. In other words, someone situates themselves in rasa according to what actual taste they have, what is their nature. So if it doesn't work for you, you don't denounce it. It's just, you know, it's just not, it doesn't work for you, right? Somebody with a weak digestion doesn't eat rich food, but they shouldn't sit around and criticize that rich food is nonsense. Because there's other people who that's what they eat, right? Like I think I was reading about, or I was being told about wrestlers, Indian wrestlers, you know, do all this wrestling and that. I think they the normal diet is, so Moto is saying hello. Is that is like in Quasimoto or?
In the middle of the class, we'll call you back.
So it's a little small, so is that like Quasimoto or something?
Yeah.
Oh, K1, Quasimoto, right, okay. Because he was a little small too, I think, wasn't he? Yeah. He was into bells and making sounds, and so it seems to, yeah, very similar. Never thought of it like that. Okay. Yeah, so he should not denounce it. Right? Oh, we were saying about the wrestlers. I think they can, like, I think it's like 2 or 3 liters of milk a day, 1/2 kilo of ghee a day, and 1 kilo of almonds. That's the normal diet. But, you know, it's they have no problem digesting it because they'll do, like, you know, 1,500 of these, like, you know, Hanuman push-ups. Hanuman push-ups, they look like the push-up that you do in Surya Namaskar. Yeah, so they're much more difficult than regular. They'll do 1,500 of those, and they do them. Forget how long it takes them. It doesn't take them long to do them. And they'll do, you know, hundreds of thousands of squats, and all these kind of things. So very strong. So for them, that's a normal diet. Someone else, that would actually probably kill them. So the point is, if it's suitable for your nature, you accept it. If it's not, you don't accept it, but you don't denounce it. Right? In other words, all the rasas are appropriate, right? These 5 rasas. But what is good for us, that's what we accept. Right? Now, someone who accepts the Madhurya rasa because it includes all the other 4 rasas, a proper person would never denounce the others. Someone on the lower rasa may not appreciate the higher. Does that make sense? So if you have those on the higher, they're denouncing the lower, then they're missing the point. Because it's already included within it. The same rasa is already included. Does that make sense? Here, there is no space for elaborate discussion of this topic. It is enough to say that those who are qualified for Madhurya rasa are not attracted to any form other than Krishna's. Krishna is the sole object of the highest rasa. If a person impartially judges after giving up all contamination of ideas due to various philosophies, he must conclude that the form of Krishna is the best and purest of all. Right? Means if he impartially judges, he'll come to that conclusion. If he has all kinds of other, concepts, you know, then he'll have more of a problem. Yes.
I did not get this point.
You don't get which point? The it's called a period. It's at the end of a sentence. All of them have it. Oh, you mean there isn't one? There should be one.
It says that those who are qualified for Madhurya are not attracted to any forms other than Krishna's. But also, it's not that who are in other rasas, they have some other form they also attracted to.
Means someone in Dasya rasa is attracted to Narayan. So the forearm form and that's his main deity.
Sakya Vatsalya.
Then means Sakya Vatsalya is also Krishna. Like that, but we see that you have the element, means you do have that in Vrindavan, so they'll also be attracted to Krishna, because only Krishna has these 3 rasas. Right? Does that make sense? So it's Krishna and Dwarka, He has his friends, and he has his parents, he has his wives. So it's only Krishna that you have all these other rasas. Does that make sense? Yes.
Right, like this is like the second time you mentioned Krishna and Dwarka, he has friends and parents.
And it's Krishna, right?
Krishna and Vrindavan also has the same.
It's Krishna.
Yeah.
So we said Krishna.
It's Maharaj, Maharaj, like before also one day you mentioned that Krishna in Dwarka, he has friends and parents and wives, but Krishna in Vrindavan also has parents, friends.
Yeah, because it's Krishna. Krishna means the Shantaras then is specifically aimed at Brahman and Paramatma. The Dasiras is specifically the deity is Narayan. But Krishna is the Vishai for the Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasas. Right? So it says Krishna. So does that make sense? Does that clear it or? It doesn't. So what's the problem?
It was just that. Like you were saying before, that if something repeats, it's considered to be more important. So, that's the second time you were mentioning that Krishna and Dwarka. You just didn't say Krishna. You said Krishna and Dwarka.
Yeah, because I just wanted to make sure that you understood the principle is Krishna. So Krishna and Dwarka, Krishna and Mathura, Krishna and Vrindavan. But it's Krishna who these three rasas are with. So you were saying is only Mathura rasa connected with Krishna? We're saying all three of them are. Is that okay now?
Yes.
But wouldn't you be inclined to the type of rasa according to the body you have in this lifetime?
Wouldn't you be according to the body you have in this lifetime?
Yeah, because your nature, like your nature in this lifetime.
What has that got to do with anything?
I mean, does that mean that's your constitution position?
Nothing to do with it. See, according to karma, what's the general principle how you get a female body? What's the method?
You get overly attached to your wife.
You're overly attached to a woman at the time of death, you think of her. Right? Then you get a female body. So why would that have anything to do with your relationship with Krishna? Right? Means you perform some nonsense activity, then next lifetime you might be a dog or a cat or a pig or anything else. So the conditional state has nothing to do with your constitutional. Does that make sense? They're not connected at all. Nothing. It's not even the slightest connection. It's whatever is the natural relationship of the soul with Krishna. That's what's there. It doesn't matter what state you're in the material existence, because you could be in anything. You know what I'm saying? Means the living entity has been in the world since time immemorial, so where you end up at this point, that it doesn't matter. Like that. It's you take whatever you have now and utilize that and connect it to Krishna. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yeah, so it doesn't have anything to do with that. So you might have a lady who is attracted to Krishna and Sakya Rasa, and a man who's attracted to Krishna and Madhurya Rasa. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Yeah. But because Krishna displays the quality of being on an equal level with his devotee, one should not consider that his form is less than other forms of God. Rather than being less, this form is in all ways greater than other forms. Krishna has whatever spiritual complete qualities the other forms of God possess. But he has the additional unique quality of revealing his complete spiritual pastimes to all the material senses through his chit-shakti. When he appears in the material world, he is endowed with all powers, though carrying out seemingly material activities. When he acts like a boy with dear friends, when he acts like a baby under the protection of his parents, when he is the lover of those devotees in Madhurya Rasa, he still exhibits his supreme control. Even while performing his pastimes like a human being among human beings, he astonished the most learned persons by acting as the master of all the elevated devatas. If Krishna had not mercifully revealed his intoxicating pastimes as a cowherd to the world, who would be able to realize that the Supreme Lord is the reservoir of Madhurya Rasa? The pastimes of Krishna are not the creations of human imagination, nor are they based on the blind faith of bewildered, foolish people. However, only knowledgeable persons can understand this. Right. So because he acts within these seemingly human pastimes, that doesn't make him any less. It actually makes it greater, because he has whatever are these other forms that are obviously, this is God. He has all those qualities, plus he has more. He has these wonderful pastimes, revealing these wonderful pastimes. So that these others don't do. They don't have this kind of this childhood pastimes and the pastimes with the gopis and this and that. They don't have them. So this is, becomes very, very special then. Right? Very special. So instead of seeing as less, it is more. But one should not think that this is, you know, something of human creation, of imagination, or just by those, you know, sentimental persons that they make, that they have this. But it's only those who are actually knowledgeable, right, with transcendental knowledge, they can understand this. So therefore, he says here, only knowledgeable persons can understand this, right? In the beginning of this he was saying, is that someone who's simply a scholar cannot understand this. So he's throwing out gyan, so we can understand that he's throwing out gyan means that's not connected to Krishna. But those who have knowledge connected with Krishna, only they can understand this. Therefore, it supports what Prabhupada was saying in the morning. Right? About that this pure knowledge of Krishna, that's the basis of devotional service. Comma missing this time.
Or can we say here that in here the knowledgeable person means people who are already realized? Or?
People who are already realized, not necessarily, can understand this because he's saying understand. Right? That can mean anywhere from only those people who have heard knowledge about Krishna, receiving it from bona fide source, they can understand. Right? How much that understanding is, of course, that's according to realization. But the principle is the same. Right, so even the newest person, he hears some knowledge about Krishna and has faith in it, then he understands. Right, someone, you know, much more mature and more practiced would have the same situation. Is that what?
Faith and understanding and intelligence—they're sort of synonymous. As your understanding increases, then your faith will manifest.
Yeah, it means they nourish each other. It means as the faith is there, your understanding is greater, and as you practice that understanding, then your realization gets more. Right? As the greater your realization, the greater your faith. You know, the greater your understanding, the greater the faith. Like that. It's actually said that prema is mature faith. Fully matured faith. Right? So technically it's like what we're saying that these processes, that each one contains the last, is generally we think it is there's Shraddha, then it moves on to Sadhu Sangha, then it moves on to Bhajana Kriya, and then Anartha Nivriti. No, it means the first stage it has faith, but that faith is based on knowledge that gained from the devotees. Right? So that then one takes up the association of devotees with that faith. Bhajana Kriya means with faith in the association of devotees, you perform the devotional activities. Performing those devotional activities in the association of devotees with faith, then the anartas are removed from your heart. And you're situated then it properly in strong faith, in proper association, you know, good association, in the practices of Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So it just each one, it always contains the last as it moves. So that means prema means all those things. Your faith is complete, your association with devotees is complete, your pastimes, I mean your bhajan is complete. You know that there's no, in any way, any kind of contamination in any way, therefore pure unalloyed. So like that is complete. Like that, one's fixed in one's service, that's complete. One has a full taste, one's full attachment. When you know the bhava, the ecstasies are complete. Exclamation mark, question mark. First letter capital. Paragraph indentation.
You said it's complete.
Complete.
So.
Om pur namadaf pur namidam pur nat pur namudachate.
So.
Oh well, that class is over anyway. So when you remember, we'll continue tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainitai Gaur Premanandi. Doesn't mean it can't expand more. Complete doesn't mean it's finished. Complete means it's full. So it can become more full. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with experience. You're not dealing with accomplishment of a task. That finishes. But mood never finishes.